Welcome back, Christian Customs and Traditions. Our pastor has been able to make us know that some traditions were by commandments of the Lord and some were not by specific commandments from the Lord. And we've been able to see water baptism, feet washing, communion, proper Christian dressing, the hair veiling for the women, and so on. Okay, and it's been very lovely here. I was going to ask our pastor before we went on a break about offerings.
Offering is part of the tradition.
It's also a tradition.
Yeah, it's part of the tradition because it started with the need. We saw it in the Acts of Apostles.
That's right. Chapter 5.
Regularly, because when the Christianity began, it began with persecution.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and people were really suffering.
Okay.
And I remember that. The Christian faith is a religion of love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you feel one another. Another's a problem. And we saw in Acts chapter 5 where they all...
Chapter 4.
They all came together. They saw the needy people.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And compassion was so much. And the people, they were selling their possessions and then coming to share it among the needy ones.
Okay.
You know, that brought the bond of love. Mm-hmm. And through offerings like that also, people in the Philippian church, in the Macedonia church, and the Corinthian church, you know, from time to time, they will gather offerings and send to the apostles, send to those in the fields, and, you know, meet the needs of the needy ones among them. Mm. So it became a tradition that through offerings and tithes, tithe is part of offerings, you know, that the needs of the church are met.
Okay.
So we inherited that and it became a tradition of the church. Until William Branham even made this statement, knowing that offering is even a part of worship, even in Israel, even in the law.
Amen.
Because Deuteronomy 16 verse 16 or so said we should not
come empty hand
when you come before the Lord.
Yes,
and so also William Branham put it this way, he said a service is not complete
without an offering.
Amen.
Without an offering.
Okay, thank you, sir.
So it's a means, it's a tradition that was adopted as a means to meet the needs of the ministry.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen. And thanks for making mention of tithes, sir, because that's quite controversial today.
It's an offering. It's an offering. It's to meet the needs of the church.
Amen.
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe why it looks controversial is because it's specific about tithes.
Yes, sir.
You know, but to me, it's all in coming to the church to meet the needs of the church.
Amen. Okay, I'm still asking, sir, how relevant are they to serving God, these traditions?
Well, there is a scripture, Titus chapter 1, verse 14, says something.
Titus 1, verse 14.
Yes.
Amen. It says, not giving heed to Jewish
that
fables.
That is the advice is given us. These are all tradition, Jewish traditions,
that's
and
right.
things like that, yes.
And commandments of men that turn from the truth.
So that is the emphasis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that turn from the truth. Now, Jesus Christ put it this way in Matthew 15. Let's read it from verse 1. That's very, very important.
Amen. Matthew chapter 15.
Yes.
From verse 1.
In fact, we read it up to verse 9.
Okay. It says, Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread.
Uh-huh.
But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?
Yes, sir.
See?
Amen.
They also so that is where the emphasis is.
Yes, sir.
Your traditions also transgress
the commandment of God.
Mm-hmm. That is so your traditions now conflict
yes.
with God's commandment.
Yes, that is answering your
question.
Okay. Read it up to say verse 9.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by
if
me.
If you are going to profit from it, even if
right.
it is going to offend your father and mother, what does he say? Go on.
And honor, he said, and honor not his father or his mother,
he shall be free.
He'll be free, because you are benefiting from it.
He said, thus have you made the commandment of God of non-effect by your tradition.
Now, what is that commandment of God?
Honor your father and thy mother.
That
thy day may be long.
You see now?
Amen.
Okay.
Verse 7, it says, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, these people draw near unto me
that's
with their mouth.
Mm. Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
But their heart is far from me.
Yes,
but in vain do they worship
he
me.
He said, in vain
they worship
me. Because with their mouth they are worshiping God.
With their heart is far from
me. But their heart is far from God. That is where the conflict is. Uh-huh.
And he added by saying, teaching for doctrines,
the
commandments of men.
Teach for doctrines, the commandments of men. So that is very important to see that, yes, some traditions, you know, of men, they conflict. So some of these things have nothing to do with the worship
salvation.
Of God, with salvation.
Okay.
In fact, with righteousness. Let me call it that way. Because whatever you do, whatever we do, we want a right standing before God.
That's
the meaning of righteousness.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
That which will be acceptable before God. So that's why he's in that verse. If you read it further from verse 10, it now says, you know, you must wash your hands.
That's right.
Uh-huh. And so what has eating dirty got to do with God? God is not interested in that. God is interested in your heart.
Amen.
Amen.
You understand?
Okay.
So he said, it is what comes out and not what goes in
that's
that
right.
defile you.
He says that in verse 11.
Exactly.
He says, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man.
Yes.
But that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man.
That's right.
Okay, now these are traditions of men now.
Yes.
But sir, what of the traditions our own Christian traditions, how relevant are they to serving God, to our worship?
Like the ones we have
stated.
Yes,
sir.
Take for instance, I say dedication.
Okay.
I mean, you know, we always know that Christ himself said, him being the vine and we are the branches. And that without him we can do nothing.
Amen.
And he said, acknowledge me, Proverbs chapter 3.
Yes, sir.
In all thy ways.
Lean not unto your own understanding.
Amen.
You know, but acknowledge God and he will direct their path. So you can see it. Now, each time you refuse to acknowledge God, you are actually saying you don't need him on your own. And that is pride. So that is one. It is necessary.
Amen.
It may not be written that you must dedicate, but you can see why it is necessary that you dedicate. If you don't dedicate, then indirectly becomes sin, though it is not written. But that action itself makes it.
Can also show ingratitude.
Ingratitude
that's
to
right.
God.
To God.
Yes. So then, of course, which other say going to church on Sunday.
On Sunday.
If you don't go, you have not committed sin.
Okay.
You understand?
Amen.
Yeah. If you don't go, you have not committed sin. Yet it's a tradition of the church. That said, we must
go
to church on Sunday.
Okay.
Because the truth is, every day is a holy day before a Christian.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank God you made mention of baby dedication and those things, because the Yorubas here in Nigeria and some other people, they love to dedicate or name their child after 8 days. And most of them
it's a tradition we took over from the Old
Jews.
Testament.
Yes.
The
okay.
Jews. There is no commandment of such.
Okay.
You know, it was a tradition. But then there are some traditions we also pick from there that if it is relevant,
okay.
But not a commandment.
Okay, sir.
Whether you do it or don't do it is no sin.
Okay.
Because if it is the same day in the tradition in Israel,
and the circumstance.
That the same day that they name the child, that the child is also dedicated.
Okay.
Okay. But you will notice that there's a conflict here.
That's right.
You know, in applying this tradition, and in the Jewish tradition for the dedication, the woman is declared unclean.
Yes, sir.
For a certain number of days, if it is a male child.
Yes,
for
sir.
A certain number of days, it's a female child.
That's yes, right. sir.
And so it's not qualified to come to the temple until the purification period is over, according to the law. All right? And it became the tradition of the Jews.
Okay, sir.
Because every tradition that the Jews, you know, were adopting was actually given to them by God after they left Egypt.
Amen.
Okay. So now where they are, now we are now Gentiles, grace period.
Amen.
You know, then I always see them, you know, disturbing us, the ministers. Ah, this is the eighth day today. Do you know even ministers in Brother Assembly Church? You know, and then the wife can go anywhere else, do her business, do everything, but she won't come to church until 3 months, whether it is girl or boy. So which law are you even using? Which even tradition are you, whether it is boy or girl, you know? Then on the eighth day, quarter right, they go and then circumcise. But I also believe that the law for the eighth day, I have not confirmed it. I'm not a medical person, but I've heard some people made reference to that, that the child, God gave that eighth day because of blood clotting when you make incision.
Wow.
Okay.
You know, so that is when the blood can clot easier than if you are younger.
Below,
if you were younger.
Okay.
And you know, God is himself is the creator.
That's right. No, amen.
Perfect creator.
Okay. But now, they name the child these days. After naming, then we are coming
for dedication.
3 months after, they are now preparing and coming for the dedication. So to me, I don't know which tradition are you following. The Jewish all wait until the same day they name the baby, it's the same day they dedicate the baby. You know, we saw it, John own and the Lord Jesus Christ own. He made reference to the law.
Yes, sir.
So it is not a law now.
Okay, sir.
It's just a tradition. So whether you do it or you don't do it, it's no sin.
Okay. So when Gabriel dedicates his baby after 1 month.
Yeah, you know, and that was the problem. If you notice, I think Sister Nena, you know, she knows her scriptures. And she said, why are people disturbing my worship of God? I am strong. I can come to church. Why will I have to sit and wait till 3 months? You know, she kept struggling with that. I'm not sure she reached 3 months before she brought that child for dedication. Things like that.
Okay.
And she did not commit sin.
Okay, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Okay, so what about the customs and traditions we see today? And I would love for you to really emphasize on them. Bible school, impartation, school of prophets, catechism, believers class, harvest, and so on.
You see, we have to put these things right. Now, the emphasis we are saying this is to look at the origin of some of these practices, which make them custom or tradition, handed down. But some don't even have Christian
origin
at all, because it was not a practice in the church. And maybe we'll come to such later.
Definitely.
Now, but if you look at Bible college,
yes, sir.
Bible school. Now we have it in history and on record that, and you know, remember the four beasts in Revelation chapter 4.
Yes, that's sir.
Right. What's the first one?
The lion.
The lion, the ox. The face of a man, and then
the flying eagle. Amen.
Now, remember, it says face of a man. Now, we know what each of them symbolized.
That's okay. Right.
Now, the face of a man there, that is when the fifth church age, that is when the restoration, or what we call the reformation, or restoration began with Luther. Now, they were coming out of dark ages for a period of about 1,000, almost 1,000 years period, where Christianity, they were just working based on what the system taught them.
Thank you, sir.
So why he had to use the face of a man is because he was now going to use intellect.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So for the people to have access to the Bible and to understand what is true Christianity, different from what Catholicism were teaching at that time, schools were established to teach the people this Bible that was kept away.
Amen.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Until the Bible again was returned to the hands of the people. Now, it fulfilled its
purpose. Exactly.
And remember that at that time, there were not schools where you have, what do you call it, you pay school fees. There were, you know, gatherings, human gathering, people were offering themselves to go and teach. It was part of, you know, bringing the people out of darkness and letting the people understand the Bible.
Part of the revival.
It was part of the revival.
That's Amen.
Right. It served its purpose.
Amen.
So that is where the tradition began.
Okay.
And before you know what, it was not meant to produce ministers.
Amen.
Just it was meant for every believer to establish themselves
in the word.
In the word.
Yes. Amen. Then they now also, we have another tradition called Sunday school.
Yes, sir.
That is where the thing began.
That's right.
A stage comes, you come, and then you a period, you tear them into groups, and then they were teaching them on Sundays, because that's when people were free enough for everybody to come. And then from there, carnal people hijacked it. Business people hijacked it. And carnal people hijacked it. Now it becomes a prerequisite for you to be a minister of the fivefold ministry, to be a church worker, and on the issue certificate, you pay school fees.
Oh.
They employ people to work in the church when you have a certificate. They have academic gowns. They have diploma. Now, what I always frown at, what amuses me so much, one of the things that amuses me in this thing is that, you know, this thing that an illiterate wrote,
a fisherman.
The fisherman wrote.
I don't know right his name.
You know. Now you are now coming and to and somebody concerning salvation. Concerning salvation.
Amen.
Somebody is coming to issue you certificate. You are now this level. Diploma. Certificate. They start with certificate. You do only 6 months certificate. Then you can go back and do more period diploma, then higher diploma, then first degree, then master's, then that's where you have a doctorate degree, doctor this. It's a doctorate in theology from one school of
theology.
Yes, yes. And remember that it's not regulated. So there's no even standard set for it. Therefore, if you are from Deeper Life Bible School, you cannot, you know, will not qualify you to be a minister in Winner's Zone because you didn't go to Winner's Zone. Neither you, if you get the Winner's certificate, will you qualify you to come to Deeper Life? That means use that as an example. Of course, that's the practice. So now, so because there's no regulation, because the ones will have regulated us, you know, and then you now have the certificate and then you're applying for which ministry to go and work. And then what is it that qualifies you to the ministry? It's a Bible school. That is why it has, you know, the purpose has been hijacked.
Okay.
Although it has a root from our Christian fathers.
The reformers.
The reformers. Yes.
Okay. Amen. Okay, sir. What of what we see today? Impartation.
I think you spoke about the Bible. You spoke about Bible college and something.
Yes, like catechism, believers' class.
It's very important. You know, this school thing then branch into various branches. Now we have a believer.
In the Orthodox churches, it's called catechism.
Catechism.
Then in the Evangelical Pentecostal, it's called believers' class.
Beginners
or believers' class.
Yeah. You know. Yes, sir. You know, we are, and the truth is this, you know, all the rest of your life until you die, you are studying.
Amen.
This Bible.
Amen.
Amen.
So when you say beginner, believer, yes, there are certain things they should know when you come to Christ newly. And whatever thing, you know, as a ministry, whatever thing you create, you know, to to bring up the people, you know, to understand what the Christian faith is a good tradition. It has not negated anything here.
Okay.
You know, and it should be encouraged. Mm-hmm. I mean, somebody who has never gone to church and is coming, how will he flow?
Okay.
So they need mentorship. Mm. You know, you need to let them, teach them to know, now that you're in Christ, expect crisis. Yeah, so that they're not stumbling. Yeah. Now that you're in Christ, we have our traditions. We have our identity.
Oh, that's right.
You know, you were a prostitute before. Now, when you come, this is how we dress. This is how we do this. Yes. And then, when before you come, there must be this. Now you have baptized this and that. Now, of course, we have also baptismal class.
Yes, that's another word for
now,
it.
Now, baptismal class, you know, I don't know why they will waste people's time. Now, the tradition of baptismal class, you can now see, you know, why I say it is not a Christian tradition. It's a it's a man-made tradition
that is in conflict with the
word of God.
Hallelujah.
Because once a believer, I mean a sinner, believes, the next opportunity you have, and you, the opportunity is not your church program.
Amen.
That's right. That's right.
Do you understand?
That's true.
The opportunity is where is water.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Is there water around? Not to waste the people's time, because you are bringing him to Christ. He must be justified immediately.
Amen.
And we see that pattern in the Bible.
Hallelujah.
You know, we have to follow it. Now, where they have to make you write exams.
Before you have a
then you fail, you repeat.
Okay.
You fail, you repeat.
Yes, sir.
You know, now that is what
the conflict,
the conflict we talk. Now, we won't go again, you know. When it comes to baptism now, the tradition, you know, in the Bible, and the tradition, there are denominational traditions and custom. Take, for instance, the Catholics and the Anglicans, and who else? They sprinkle water.
Now, that's true.
Yeah. So, when you say, they say, we Anglican, this is how we baptize. Now, that's the tradition.
Okay.
Now, it negates the scripture.
That's man-made.
That is man-made
tradition.
Because the apostolic, our forefathers' tradition, and according to the commandment of the Bible, baptism should be by immersion.
Amen.
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 Because it has a spiritual signification. It's you dying with Christ, you being buried, and you, you know, so if anybody sprinkle water on you, it's wrong. And to dedicate a child is not to baptize the child.
Amen.
So, amen. Child baptism.
Infant baptism.
Infant baptism is also wrong. And yet, there are churches that practice that as their tradition.
Wow.
Okay. 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 Believers class, catechism, baptismal class. Well, our pastor has made it clear to us when they have to waste your time for 3 good months and
so
you have to write
an
exam before you are baptized. That is a tradition that is in
conflict
with the
commandment. No matter what gift you have, no matter what grace you have, some tradition, in some church tradition is that you can't be ordained a minister until you go to that their Bible college. So you, what qualifies you into the ministry is not the grace you have, but the certificate it issues to you. And so you have a lot of pastors here that have not been called by God, but called by their church, through their church tradition. For any reason, either you are eloquent in speaking, or you love God, you want to, do you want to serve him? Say, okay,
go to
Bible
school.
Go to Bible school 3 months if you are a bank manager, if you are a professor, you're an army general, you're a big director somewhere,
3 months.
You know, so that we don't waste your time too much. Even the 3 months is part-time, you know what I mean? Then, so that they will say you went to school.
Certificate.
And then they give you, and then you are hanging the certificate there, I am pastor this. And no call, no call from God, but it is your own church
tradition
that through their tradition have appointed you. There are those messing up Christianity today.
So what about this issue of harvest that we have in a lot of churches today? No harvest, especially the Orthodox churches.
Yeah, You know, it is also a carryover from the Jewish tradition.
Okay.
You know, and there's no, you have not negated any law.
Mm.
Because what is harvest? What you are saying is that it's a thanksgiving, occasion for thanksgiving.
Mm.
Of all the blessing God has blessed you for a particular season.
Okay.
This is what we have harvested, and now I'm bringing a part of it, you know, appreciation. So, yes, I was a farmer. You know, I so much yield last year. I'm coming to thank God. And it's in the Bible, you know, in the Jewish
tradition,
in the law, you know. God has blessed me so much. Made a lot of money last year, and I am bringing some as thanksgiving. And some call it harvest. We call it annual thanksgiving.
Okay.
It's all opportunity to come and thank God. You know, so I feel thanksgiving is in the Bible.
Amen.
So it is our tradition.
Okay, so thank you for thank you for that, sir.
Sorry to ask again. Can this tradition be done in a wrong form? Yet it is
every tradition. You know, that's why I say, you know, the application, we must be careful over it, or it negates what it's supposed to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take for instance, you come for harvest, thanksgiving, and then it is turned to bazaar.
Okay.
You understand? Where the items that are brought are being monetized.
Mm. Mm.
That is what it's all about.
Mm.
And then they carry this biro and then go in. This one says, I take it 1 naira. This one says 5 naira. This one says 2 naira. What is, you know? Now, when it goes like that, you are not going to auction in the church.
Mm.
Now, these things are supposed to be brought and shared among needy. That is how it's supposed to be.
Amen.
Now, even including the money and the needs of the church are met through it.
That's right.
Now, if they bring money, if they monetize, if you need money, you can as well tell the person bringing, please monetize your gift that you want to bring. Because even in the Old Testament, there was monetization of offerings, you know, of sacrifice of offerings, of even tithe.
Mm.
You know, you can monetize it.
That's right.
You know, so even now, if you want to monetize it, I mean, if you need money for any particular need in the church, then you announce in advance. Mm. We don't need item. Monetize it and bring the money to the church because it will meet the needs, better than this one. Now, when you do that, that's being sincere.
Mm.
But to stay and see it as opportunity,
to
you know,
sell and auction
then,
things.
And then sell and then do bazaar in the church. If Jesus can enter that place with a whip, if he enter that place with a whip, then you people will know that my house is a house of prayer, not
a den of thieves.
Not a den of thieves. Because anytime I remember that scripture, you know, den of thieves, I remember those who come to the church and advertise anointed water, anointed oil, anointed. You know there's nothing inside that oil. You know there's nothing inside that. And even if there's something inside it, God did not put it there for you to come and sell it.
Maybe we forgot to mention that. Is that, you know, part of our Christian tradition?
No, it is not. That's what I'm saying now. That is what they were doing in the church, in the temple. When Christ entered there with whip. You know, but God is so merciful in this grace age. And the reason is because not all Christians are of Christ. Christ himself had told us in advance before he left that tares will be planted among us. But he will let all grow together until harvest time. And that's exactly why it seems as if they have overpowered him. No. Because the real elect won't go to such places.
That's right.
Uh-huh. You know, so I just wish any of them listening to me, you know, you see them selling bangles. You know, sell all manner of things. Write Genesis 12 something. Then you say, see it, if you wear it, you know, then nothing will happen to you. I mean, you know. And they sell it in the church.
Band of protection, you know.
That's satanic traditions in the church.
that's not the Christian tradition.
Amen. Okay, thank you. So what of there's another funny one today, especially among these anointed men of God. The one of impartation. No. How? Yes, I remember Apostle Paul made mention of that I might impart unto you some spiritual gifts.
Romans 1:11.
Yes. So I see people today, they will come before a man of God. I want impartation. The man of God will lay hands and do impartation on people. Is that the Christian tradition?
You know, I have a lot. So many people have come to me, ministers, with this hangover from these denominations.
Yes, sir.
I think even a few days ago, you know, one came to me and said, "Daddy, I want impartation."
Okay.
So I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Sir, I'll be great, impart grace."
More, yes, increase my grace. Now, let me put it that way.
What they're actually saying is that they believe you have an anointing.
Mm.
Give me part of it.
Mm.
Simon.
That to them, that is the impartation.
Oh, wow.
And who was that in the Bible?
Simon the sorcerer.
Give me thou leaders if I lay hand on somebody and they will receive Holy Ghost. Do you understand?
Understand.
You know, and we are supposed to operate within the measure of grace given to us.
Hallelujah.
And who is he that gives it? It's God that gives us according to our abilities.
Amen.
You know, and even increase of grace. Increase of grace comes by a test of faithfulness.
Hallelujah.
We grow in grace.
So you have no ability to increase.
So it's not the master that you serve sees your ability and increases it. You know, but now people go up and down looking for if somebody can impart. Now, if you come to me and say, I should pray that God will increase the grace to serve him. If you come to me, it's the same thing as you coming to me, pray for me for the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Okay.
I don't have Holy Ghost to give anybody. Now, the apostles, Philip from Samaria, sent for the apostles. They came to Samaria and they laid hand on the people. Now, when they laid hand on the people, we must understand what it means. You know, when they say they laid hand on the people, it's prayers. It's prayers.
That's right. That's right.
You know, it's prayers. You know, now you pray for the people. Lord, give them the Holy Ghost. Lord, give them the Holy Ghost. Apostle Paul laid hand on them, like in Acts chapter 19, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now remember that every genuine thing can be impersonated. Then you must take note that they did not become the sons of the Apostle Paul.
Sons of the Prophet Paul.
The sons of Prophet Paul. You know, all these things are coming up, they're infiltrated. It's not a Christian tradition. It's not Christianity. Sons of the Prophet, the way they are presented. Men want to play God, always wanting followership. And I say that if you go to any man, and as your spiritual father, contrary to Matthew 23, the Lord Jesus Christ warned us, call no man your father. That's what Jesus saw. That is what he saw. That he was saying, don't do that. Oh, my father in the Lord, my father in the Lord, prophet, this one, and it has become a franchise. If they know you are associated with Prophet Jeremiah, the people will run to you. That means the same grace is here, and things like that. And then, of course, the same thing that he's doing, that's what you are doing. You are also selling oil. You are also selling all those fetish things that people are doing. So when you talk of impartation, see what the impartation Apostle Paul was talking of. Read Romans chapter 1.
Hallelujah.
Verse 11, verse 12.
Romans chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. It says, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts.
He will impart
some spiritual gifts.
Spiritual gift. He didn't say gifts.
That's right.
Spiritual gifts.
Yes, singular.
To the end, ye may be established.
For which purpose?
That
to make you to be
established. Amen. It says verse 12.
For which reason, verse 12?
That is, that I may be comforted together with you. Comforted together with you by the
mutual faith,
both of you and me.
Because he had an understanding of salvation.
Amen.
So, what he wants to establish is that we are right in the same doctrine,
amen,
in the same understanding, mutual faith. So I don't charge, you will not charge.
Amen.
You know, he gave example of Titus. He gave example of Timothy.
Sure.
You know, I say, I seek you, not yours. You know, did we charge you when we came to you? What is it that gave them joy? Is that you see them walking in the same way that they walked.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
So that is what the impartation is. It's knowledge.
Amen.
In this church, I say we come for some impartation. The impartation is impartation of knowledge. So that we will walk in the unity of the faith. And the unity is not in our agreement. If your unity is not uniting with the Bible, it is another tower of Babel.
Oh my God.
Do you understand?
Amen,
because
sir.
This is what defines the unity. This is the bond. So no matter what agreement we have as an association, if it goes contrary to this Bible, it is another unity of a total, I mean, tower of Babel. So the impartation, when we say, you know, I see, what do they call it? Take it. And people fall. That is impartation. Then, after that, what happens?
Let me ask this. A well-known pastor, Pastor Chris, he would say something like transfer of anointing. He wants to transfer anointing to an object, and that anointing, he wants that person to have that anointing. And so the person receives the anointing by falling. Now, I watched that in the video, and we have that video to show.
No, what I'm even saying is this. It's not, you see,
Okay, I think we should watch that video so that pastor will see for himself.
Yeah,
okay.
I think so.
Okay.
He said,
let's watch it.
Stir up the gift of God that is in thee. There's a gift of God. There's a gift of God. Some of you here, there's a gift of God in you. Listen. Are you still there? I want to tell you something about the anointing of the Spirit of God. How the anointing makes you a success. The anointing makes it possible for something which would have never come to you. An idea that would have never come to you. While you're sitting on your own, can I have a chair? Let me show you something. Bring that chair. You know why I want you to bring this chair? Because when you were bringing that chair, I knew that something was going to happen with the chair. But if I put it on that chair, they will take it back. Thank you, Lord. Come and sit on this chair. Sit on it. Ema Subrahati. Somebody Siva Kaya Diboli Kabaya. The power of the Holy Spirit. We are stirring up something on the inside. Stirring up something on the inside. As it was stirring up something on the inside. You want it over here. There's an anointing. We are stirring up something on the inside. Take it in Jesus' mighty name. Power of the Holy Ghost. of God. Stand up from within. Stand up from within. Go ahead and talk in other tongues. Talk in other tongues. Keep talking in tongues. Keep talking in tongues.
Okay, sir. Do you worry? No, and that is your experience in this field of.
You see, listen and listen real good.
Okay, sir. Okay.
I have nothing against the manifestation of the Spirit. Remember, we have different operations.
Okay.
We have different manifestations.
Yes, sir.
We have different administrations.
Amen.
But the same Spirit. Now, when it comes to the move of the Spirit, you will not say it must be like this.
Okay.
Now, the only problem that we have, we as ministers, is that for us to be able to know that though that grace is around me, but that I must know what it is meant for and what it should be used for. Now, it's very easy to go the way of entertainment. Do you understand?
That's right.
It's very easy to go the way of entertainment. And man, generally, it's very easy to go off. Because I, by God's grace, God has taken me to a level where I have experienced some of these things. And until I had to check myself. You know that those of you who have been long in the ministry enough to know some of this display of this, you know.
Definitely.
You know, where I can stand, we've seen it several times, maybe I want to do a deliverance on somebody and then the person is running away.
That's right.
And then I will say, they want to run and hold the person. I say, leave him.
Yeah,
I said, leave him. If you are stronger than the angel, then go and let me see. Do you understand?
That's right.
If you are stronger than the angel, now go and let me see. And you notice the person cannot run again.
That's right.
You understand?
Definitely.
You know, you have seen also where I will say, who is this one? The angel will chain you. And then right there, the person is chained. And unless I come to lose the person, he remains like that. Now, there is even the one where deliverance takes place. I tell the angel what to do. Do like this. Let the angel do like this. You know, and then you're doing it to achieve what? You understand?
That's right.
You know, so now I there was a day I came out, I closed church some time ago, and I was going to enter my car to go. I held my Bible in my hand, and Sister Juliet, now in our accounts department here, came, "Oh, Daddy, let me help you with your Bible." I said, "No, don't touch my Bible." I was like joking. He said, "No, now, how can you hold your Bible when we are here?" I said, "Julia, don't touch my Bible. If you hold my Bible, anything that happened to this, your cloth will dirty here now." He said, "Give me." I said, "Okay, take." And the power of God ruffled her down the ground. I took my Bible. I said, and everybody was looking. Showing people had. I told her not to touch my Bible. Now, will you not equate that with what he's doing? I sit down. Oh yeah, come and sit down, let me see. Do you understand?
That's right.
You know, it's the same thing. Now, what did I gain by making her fall down and ruffle? It didn't benefit anything.
That's right.
You know, recently, the Sister Chisaku, the accountant, came to my office and she made a statement. She was making a statement. I said, "Be careful. If not, the angel that is here now will deal with you. Just bring your paper, let me sign and go out." And she was arguing. I said, "You want to see him, Abby? You want to see him? Okay. Oh yeah. Let the angel, oh yeah, do." And she scattered herself there and she ran out of the office.
Wow.
Now, look, I'm just, you know, letting you know that You know, that when you are sure of a grace around you, now, okay, you know, you can do anything you want to do with it. That is the mystery. But when you are humble and know the purpose of the anointing, now you make sure each time you display that anointing is for a purpose.
That's right.
Now, oh, he's here, the anointing, the anointing, the anointing. Remember I saying the anointing, the anointing, the anointing. The question I ask is, when anointing comes, you are falling down, you are this, and then at the end, you are here dressing like a prostitute. So so that is when we begin to question, what was that anointing you say you were pouring down? Because anyone that receives a genuine touch of the Holy Ghost, it reflects in your relationship with God. Amen. It reflects in every aspect of your life.
Amen.
And then he said, telling everybody, speak in tongues, speak in tongues, speak in tongues. Can you command anybody to speak in tongues? I can ask. Why is he not saying see vision, see vision, see vision? You understand? Yes, why is he not saying heal the sick, heal the sick, heal the sick?
Amen.
It's a gift. And everybody cannot heal the sick. Everybody cannot, you know, cast out devils. Everybody cannot see vision. Everybody, you know, everybody has. But if he knew the scriptures, if Oyakhilome knew his scriptures, you know, the evidence that the anointing has come is that some will be speaking in tongue, some will be doing this, the various manifestations will be taking place.
That's right.
Not one, only the only one speaking manifestation, tongues, everybody fall down. Take it and everybody falls down. Why is that's just one manifestation? How can everybody in the church manifest one man? Everybody is falling down. Take it. You know, but I have never fallen under anointing.
That's
right. But I have felt the power of God come upon me. It's not everybody that will fall down. And don't tell me because I felt I didn't fall down, I didn't receive. If I didn't receive, then why am I not who I used to be before?
Amen.
You know, I'm just saying that.
Hallelujah.
You know, so this is the problem I have. You know, then before you know what, you get proud and you think you are special because you have that kind of
grace around you.
That kind of anointing. And so now we are not able to know which one is the genuine one from the one that is bought, anointing for sale. We don't know the one that you want to collect from somewhere because of the way we do, because we know you can never be more anointed than Peter, than Paul, than the early apostle that walked with Jesus, slept with him, woke up with him, that received the original one before it passed down to you.
That's right.
2,000 years after.
The counterfeit started.
And yet, we never, they were out after getting souls for Christ. Getting souls for Christ.
Amen.
Getting souls for Christ. So that is my only problem with this group of people. Take it, another one dances and passes, and people are falling down, so that then they say he's anointed. Now, I don't doubt the anointing. Like I say, different operation, different manifestation, different, but the same spirit. But we must make sure it is not for showmanship.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so it's not a Christian tradition for everybody to stand up and start speaking in tongues in the church. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for that, sir. And then the issue of the school of prophets. I know you've made mention of that, but just for further clarification.
I don't know where they got that from. It certainly is not in the Christian tradition.
Amen.
The school of prophet and school of this. Maybe I don't know whether it's school of pastors, school of evangelists,
school of apostles,
of this. I don't know. There's no such tradition.
There's also an interesting one. You made mention of offerings earlier, sir.
Yes.
Right. And there's an interesting one about first fruits. Is it a Christian tradition? Every first.
You see, it is a tradition that is taken from the law.
Jewish.
Okay. Yeah, there are some traditions.
Yes, sir.
In the law that is still applicable now, because of the purpose.
Okay.
If the purpose is still applicable now, still needed now, you know, just like I said, tight we are meant for certain, you know, to meet the needs.
That's right.
You know, so if those same needs are still in the church now, then there's nothing wrong about collecting it and meeting such needs.
Okay, sir.
You won't come and say there's no tithe in the New Testament. Therefore, this one is a love, is the collected love offering. The collected love offering. But I say, but is there any commandment against it? So we want to look, what purpose did it serve?
Yes, sir.
Is there any need now that necessitates such offering? So also with the first fruits. What was it about the first fruits? Is that you go to a place, you harvest. And that is the first harvest you are having in that land where you go, that place that you went. Then God blesses you, and you now have yield. Now the harvest period is over, and then you now bring the first fruit. That is our own way of acknowledging God.
Amen.
You know, there's even a prayer that goes with it in the law. Then what you are doing is actually acknowledging, I came here, I didn't have anything, the stranger, strange land, do this, and now here am I, and then you bless me. This is the harvest. Now the first fruit there is for them to bring a part of it. If I call it a sheaf, that is a handful.
Handful of it. That's right.
You know, you bring it to the priest.
Yes, sir.
You know, and it is waved.
Okay.
You know, before the Lord, you know, he prays and you drop it and you go. It's not every year. It's not every year from that farm you bring first fruit again. In fact, why would you call it first fruit? When it is now 2 years, is it not second fruit? If it is 5 years, is it not fifth fruit?
That's right.
So it doesn't make sense. And yet every year it's first fruit, because you are saying now it has now, in this day, preachers have misrepresented it or misinterpreted it, you know, because remember that if it is for their gain, like we saw in Matthew 15,
that's right.
You know, yes. They promote it. If it is something they will gain,
you see them
promoting it because they are going to receive a lot of income from it. Then they teach that you bring the whole of your salary, your first salary for the first month of the year is your first fruit. It is a wrong teaching. In fact, it is a robbery.
Amen. Not a
God does
tradition.
Not operate like that. And I have taken that teaching. Anybody listening to me now, you can go to our tape archives or even phone us. We'll send the teaching to you.
Amen.
That I took it extensively to open the eyes of the people. And don't worry, if you watch this television station regularly, there are certain messages we preach at certain periods to open the people's eyes. And many people are receiving deliverance by it. Always, by the end of December, we always play back these messages on the television every day, sometimes several times in a day. In fact, I think that's the only one, so that nobody will rob you when you enter
general. Okay.
You know, nobody will rob you of your income. How can God say you should bring everything? If you bring everything, what will you eat that month? So it's not so you are just to just get a handful of it. So if it is your salary, take any amount.
Hallelujah.
And come before the servant of God to bless you. And it is for the job that you have just started. A new job that you got, or a new business that you just entered into. The first profit or the first salary that you receive from that, what you are to do is take a part of it. That month you don't pay tithe. That month it is first fruit. You determine how much. Bring it before God. Subsequently, concerning that job, every other year, as long as you are, you know, into that very job, it's only tithe you'll be paying every month.
Amen.
No more. You know, concerning that job, first fruit is only once, and it's not everything, it's just a handful according to the Bible.
Okay. Yes. Thank you, sir. What of the celebrations we see? Easter and Christmas. Christian traditions.
No, they are not tradition of the church.
Amen.
No, they don't have any bearing with us.
They have no bearing with anything spiritual. Remember that, for instance, although they are given Christian names, but they are not Christian traditions.
Amen.
Because these are Christian traditions are things we inherited from our apostolic fathers.
Amen.
You know, our reforming fathers,
restoring fathers.
That's right.
You know,
Amen.
You discover that. Take Easter for instance. Easter is a celebration of the heathens to their hidden god, Easter.
Easter.
You know, And we know the story of it. It's not that's the true. It, years before Christianity began, years before Christ was born, they were always celebrating it. And the only thing is that it falls almost within the same period as Christ was crucified. You know, so they quickly changed it to a Christian worship
celebration.
And gave it a Christian celebration, the death and resurrection of Christ. And then they choose a Wednesday as the Ash Wednesday. I don't know what that has to do with I don't know how it has to do with Christ.
Christ.
You know? And then you don't eat meat, you eat fish.
Oh, that's the Lenten period for 40 days.
Yeah, you know, and then it's preceded by a Lenten period.
Yes,
they try to follow the tradition. They follow that which Christ did. But we notice that it was only Christ that had did that 40 days fasting. And that just like Moses, 40 days, 40 nights, he was before the Lord. The Jews did not practice 40 days, 40 nights.
Amen.
After
Amen.
Moses left.
Amen.
Christ, a prophet, raised unto you like
unto Moses.
Unto Moses.
Deuteronomy 18.
Hallelujah.
You know, fasted 40 days, 40 nights. And he didn't say it is a doctrine.
Amen.
Amen.
It was not a commandment that you should do like me.
Mm-hmm.
But Christians fast.
Sure.
So for you to now precede the Easter period with that long 40 days fasting and make it look as if you are practicing, giving it as if it's a Christian, anything that has any Christian virtue in it, salvation virtue in it, is no, it is an imported something into the Christian religion. It is not part of Christian tradition. And Christmas also, Christ was not born on the 25th of December. Everybody knows it.
Amen.
And that it is it's not a Christian tradition, nor where the apostles celebrated the birthday of Jesus Christ on the 25th of December. In fact, the emphasis was more on
his death,
his death and his resurrection than the day
he was born.
You know, not that the day he was born is not important, because if he was not born, how can he die?
That's true.
You know, we recognize it quite all right.
Sure.
But then, if it must be celebrated, then why are you not celebrating on the day he was born? Why are you choosing another person's birthday? You know, so that tells you where the origin of that thing, you know, is. And that you know that if you study the Bible, study to show thyself approved. You know that, and I have taught it, and you want, you're watching us, and you want to know that teaching, just you can call us and go to our tape archives with the tape title, When Was Christ Born? You know, so you will see it there, where we did it with the calculation using the scriptures. I will find out that he was born between September and October.
Amen.
Not December. Certainly not December. Now you will say, but the whole Christian world agreed. Now I said there was a time they agreed to build Tower of Babel. God was not in it. And any agreement that negates what is written here cannot
the Tower of Babel.
Yes, the fact that armed robbers agreed to go and rob does not legalize
their
crime. So what I'm just trying to say is that we are looking at Christian tradition, Christian customs, and that some of them are just not Christian, including celebration of Easter and also the celebration of Christmas.
Amen.
But of course, while we say so, those of us who are evangelists, you know, we also see it as an opportunity that the whole world is knowing about Christ. So I don't fight it too much, though I will not participate in such celebration.
Okay. Okay, sir.
Amen.
Okay, that is still on this issue, because I want to make good use of this opportunity, having you here with us.
Amen.
What about, because I know of a man of God, the general overseer of a very powerful and popular deliverance ministry in Nigeria.
Yes.
You know, in fact, to be very frank, that's Dr. Olukoya. I read in a book of his certain years ago, where in prescribing how deliverance should occur, you know, he made statement about people not eating some certain things. For instance, I read where the man said Christians shouldn't eat bitter cola. Then in another place, in undergoing deliverance, you should not take some certain things, for instance, catfish, you know, and some other things like that. So I want to know proper Christian traditions and customs. Are there some things we should eat and we shouldn't eat?
No. The Bible made it clear, you know, there's nothing that we are no more to eat.
Amen.
Contrary to the Jewish laws and things like that.
And because some people from various tribes, they will say they have some things that are forbidden to their tribes.
No, that is, we're talking of Christian tradition, yes, not so, the tribal traditions.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know where Dr. Lukoya got that from.
Yes.
Because you know I'm a deliverance minister.
Amen. Amen.
I do deliverance.
Amen. Definitely.
And I have never received any instruction from God. Neither did I see written in the Bible where somebody should not eat this or should not eat that. So, except, of course, for medical reasons.
Okay.
You know, we don't have the same makeup. What may be food to me may be poison to you.
Absolutely.
But it should not be the basis.
A doctrine.
A doctrine, and then you tell people, don't eat this so that the demon will not come. It doesn't make sense.
Yes, not even another person also said it, that Christians shouldn't eat bitter cola so that the spirit of bitterness will not.
No. I eat bitter cola. Even today, I'm bitter cola has a lot of medicinal
values. Yes, sir.
I was just sharing with my pastors who accompanied me to Ilorin a few days ago for the program.
Okay.
I know it's like overnight I ate something that troubled my stomach, and now here am I. I'm to take over the pulpit 8 o'clock, and then here am I, purging. I had to go to the toilet. My stomach was really disturbing me.
Okay.
And then I'll be going to the altar at 8, and I was sitting down there, remaining 5 minutes for them to call me. My stomach was disturbing me. I had to tell them, please tell the moderator they should keep singing until I come back. I ran to the toilet. And right there, then I remembered, I had bitter cola. So I took bitter cola while they were singing there, because I know that if I eat bitter cola, it will stop the purge. And so I ate it. Now, it may not work for you, but it works for me. And I'm not advertising it as a stopper of punch.
Yes, sir.
Now, that's what I'm telling you.
Okay.
And then I quickly chew it, and got water and
drank it.
The thing stopped, and I continued my ministration. I stood there for 4 hours.
Wow.
Ministry, deliverance, preaching, and everything else. So now, somebody will tell me I should not eat bitter cola.
Okay.
We know the benefit of bitter cola is very beneficial. In fact, it's nature's all-round medicine.
Amen.
Everybody knows it.
Amen.
And I'm not advertising as it's good for me. Look, I cannot stop me from
bitter
cola. That is what we are saying.
Yes, sir.
You see, that is what Christ was saying. He said, it's not what goes in that defiles you.
That's right. And not what brings the demon.
Eating bitter cola can never affect my heart, my mind, my thoughts. For out of the abundance of their heart proceed
everything,
bitterness. What has a bitter cola got to do with my mind?
Or drinking malt. Some people will say you should not drink malt.
It has nothing to do with it.
Okay.
So you don't even eat fish. So I believe. That must have been so many years ago.
Yes.
I believe he will have outgrown that by now.
Amen.
I believe he must have outgrown that by now, because it will have been something our mountain of fire brethren would have been talking about. Nobody talks about that now. They will have been talking about it. Do you eat this? Oh, don't eat this. In fact, bitter cola will have been very cheap now, because very few people will be buying it. So, because there are so many in the church there. So,
Thank you for that, sir. A lot of we earlier made mention of prayers.
Yes.
As being a Christian tradition.
Oh, yes.
And thank God you made mention of idolatry. We have a video of a man of God, in fact, a very, very highly respected man of God, worldwide, who lifted up a staff and asked people to pray. Like, how would I put it? Is it that they are connecting to the staff or something?
Yeah.
Okay, let's just sit back and watch the video of Pastor Adeboye lifting up a staff for prayers.
More than 2 minutes. Focus on it. And pray your prayer thus. You're going to say, Father, let your wind blow on me tonight. Where there was darkness in my life, let there be light, and reverse the irreversible. Go ahead. Father. Mama Ishiru, in Jesus' mighty name, we have.
Okay.
Okay.
The video has spoken for itself.
No, you see, Eddie Adeboye is a very respected preacher in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. He's one of the religious leaders in Nigeria because he has great followership.
That's true, sir.
I'm very wary about clips that you don't see the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You only see, you know,
a
the
part
portion
of it.
Because sometimes the enemy can do that.
Mm.
You know, I wish I know all he said before lifting up that rod.
Okay.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
I wish I can get the full tape. Then I will be able to comment more authoritatively.
Mm-hmm.
But so far,
the staff belongs to the founder
of Redeem.
Late founder.
Now, we know that the founder of a ministry must be careful about even the usage of the word founder.
Okay.
Founder. Because Christ
is the founder of the church.
Hallelujah.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
And a ministry, you always start with someone depending on what God wants you to do.
That's true.
You know, and maybe that is what they mean. You know, he started that particular ministry
church
there and continue handing it over to some other person, like that. If we were to do this in a proper sense, you know, that man, every one of us, we received from the apostles.
Mm-hmm.
It passed down from somebody to somebody to somebody to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you came to continue your own here in Lagos, in Ogun State, wherever it is, you hand over, is this handing over started right from the Lord Jesus Christ, who handed over to the disciples, who handed over to those, who handed over.
Yes,
so when you say founder, let's know we understand what you mean.
Okay.
Now, but see it here. We have what we call prophetic actions.
Yes, sir.
Now, that's why I say, let me make a comment.
That's true.
Now, because I believe in prophetic actions.
Mm.
I do prophetic actions.
Yes, sir.
As I do this, let this happen in the name of the Lord Jesus. That is the meaning of prophetic action.
Mm.
But whatever you are doing always is relevant to the prayer point you will be taking.
Mm.
That's right.
Do you understand?
That's right.
Now, but I note that he lift this, he said, look at it.
Focus on it.
Focus on this and take this prayer point. Let your wind of blessing blow on me. Now, what has this rod got to do with the wind of blessing? Does, you know, if he was creating a wind, you understand?
Mm.
If he was doing something like creating a wind and then say, oh,
yeah,
take that prayer point.
Let the wind of blessings blow.
Then I would say he's doing prophetic action.
Mm.
But you lift it, you're telling people to look up to that rod. What the Bible tells us to look up to Jesus.
That's right. Mm.
Now, is that Christ? Mm. What does Christ symbolize in that stick?
Mm.
That's why I say prophetic action. I know there was a communal service that we took one day.
Mm.
And you know, the only symbol of our faith we have in our altar is the cross and the rugged cross.
Not the polished one.
Not the polished carpenter, polished up cross. You know, we cut two pieces of wood from the bush and nail it there as, you know, point of contact to the cross of Jesus to remind us of what the Lord did on the cross of Calvary. Our healing came through, our salvation came through, our deliverance came through the cross.
Amen.
And therefore, the cross is a symbol of our faith. Christ said, if you will follow me,
pick up your cross.
Mm. You know, and follow. And then he said, the song of the Lord is a symbol of suffering and shame.
That's right.
You know, and then when we spoke on, I said, this is our communion. Now, take the body. And take the wine. I mean, take the bread and take the wine, the body and the blood of Jesus. I said, look at that cross. The author and finisher of our faith. Now you will say, but is that the cross that Jesus was hung? I said, no. But we are looking by faith, a point of contact to that cross. We cannot see the cross anymore. But this reminds us of it. I said, don't close your eyes. Eat it and be looking at it. For that, through that cross, we receive salvation.
Amen.
We receive healing. And then things were happening. As they were eating, healing was taking place.
That's true.
As they were eating, deliverance was taking place. I said, don't close your eyes. Keep looking at the cross.
Mm.
And I gave way for everybody to look at the cross. Me, myself, I thought I was looking at the cross. Now, that was a prophetic action.
Okay.
You know, now, we saw in Jeremiah 51.
That's right.
You know, after he wrote how Babylon is finished.
That's right.
You know, all the curses that come upon Babylon. He sent it through that man to go there to the river.
That's right.
And said, he should tie it around the stone.
Drop it inside.
And then all that is written there, he should tie it and go to the river and throw it and say, as and this stone and this thing goes down, so Babylon will go down and never rise again. Never rise again. And after that, that's the end of Babylon till today.
Amen.
Prophetic action. In 2 Kings again, I think it's chapter 13.
That's right.
If you read it from verse 14 up to verse 19,
Amen.
It's the same thing again. You know, where you saw Elisha. Elisha, the king came.
That's right.
You know, concerning, is it the Amorites or Syrians? The Syrians that were coming, you know, disturbing them. An old man that Elisha was, and what did he say? He said, pick your arrow and your bow and point it where?
Eastward.
Then he said, Aya, throw. You know, he threw it. And then he said, that is the arrow
of the Lord's deliverance.
The Lord's deliverance.
Amen.
And that arrow is going, that is how the arrow, that is, you know, prophetic action. Then he said, that will never finish. He said, Aya, hit this on the floor, the bow. He hit it, wow. But the number of times he stopped. He said, oh, why did you stop? Well, the number of times you hit will be the number of times
you defeat them. Amen.
We'll have hit it many more times. It's what?
Prophetic action.
But you notice that the statement, the prayer that goes along with that
the action.
So when he said, you know, the wind, I don't know if we can play it again so that you understand what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, if we can play that again, he said, the wind, they said, I should use this prayer. So what is the relevant of your prayer point?
The rod and the wind.
Then people begin to ask, what is in that rod?
Okay, so let's have the video again.
If we can have the video again. And then
keep it up for more than 2 minutes.
So it's okay to be scheduled in Guerrilla.
Focus on it. And pray your prayer thus. You're going to say, Father. Let your wind blow on me tonight. Where there was darkness in my life, let there be light.
Where there is darkness in my life, let there be light. Is it that stick that will give you light? You know.
So it's not relevant to his statement.
It's not relevant to the prayer point. Let your wind of blessing blow me. What has that got to do with them looking at that? Why? That's why I say he may have explained certain things concerning that stick. You know, and the enemy of the ministry may just cut this clip and put there. And now we believe what they are putting because of the prayer point that goes with it. And maybe Adeboye may be listening to me. Now don't look at, say you start ministering before me. We're talking on knowledge now. I'm dancing now. I'm not telling you now. Knowledge, God, you know, gives us
knowledge. We know in parts.
Because we know in part. And it's not how long you are in the ministry. It's the grace God gives us.
Amen.
So that next time you want to do a prophetic action, explain. See, I do a lot of prophetic action in my ministry. We pray with padlock. We pray with the mirror. But what is the prayer point? As I open this padlock here, anywhere they have locked my glory, my blessing, I open it in the name of Jesus. It's a prophetic action. They are monitoring me up and down. Anywhere they are using mirror, this and that, we do it. So I that is why I'm careful. Even water, smash such of water. You know, smash as anywhere they cage my glory, cage my finance, I smash this such of water, it busts, the cage is broken. For deliverance, only those of us who do deliverance will do that. Evangelists have no time for that.
Amen.
Perish, repent or perish. That's all. But when it comes to healing, deliverance, you know, there are things we do. You can imagine, why did the Lord Jesus Christ do a mud to put in the eye? Because that was Emmanuel.
Amen.
Was he not from the dust of the ground?
Hallelujah.
Yeah, he was not demonstrating, I am your maker and I'm yours. Do you understand?
Amen.
You know, prophetic action. You know, why did he walk upon the water? Why was he walking upon the water?
Hallelujah.
And to tell the people that and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the water. I am that one. You people don't know who I am. I am Emmanuel.
Hallelujah.
You understand?
Okay.
You know, everything we do, there is a significance to it. You know, what did he say? You went to, have you caught any fish today? Do you think Christ is interested in catching fish? Okay, catch it to the right side. Bring it now. Now, everything there is prophetic.
Amen.
Amen. That fish, roasting it, and everything, is the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost, and with fire, and everything.
Hallelujah.
You know, we are to bring them to him. And when you finish,
Peter,
I will make you fishers of men. So that the same way you used to catch fish over there, you will catch fish, you know, and things like that.
Amen.
I mean, all these are prophetic actions. But what I'm just saying here is that we, anybody that have access to Baba Adeboye, you know, if he can let his team put the full tape on YouTube,
okay,
you know, so that people can have access to it to hear his explanation and his reason for doing that, you know, including where he spoke about tithe, where he says if you don't pay your tithe, you will not go to heaven. Now you see, he just cut it. He may be speaking about disobedience.
Yes, sir.
And he's listing disobedient actions that people were doing. And before you know what, people caught it there. And it is the responsibility of the media department. You should not just keep quiet, because these things are there, you know, in the YouTube, and they'll be there forever. You should always make the corrections. That is what communication is all about. Keeping silent does not solve it, you know. Because we've been trying to see them respond. They have not responded. Then you are seeing people like Daddy Freeze, the man from Ukraine, what's his name again?
Sam Adelaja.
Adelaja, and the likes. You know, they are feasting on it. And, you know, but those of us who are also pastors, who have a lot of critics, you know, before we criticize someone, we work on facts. We don't just cut something like that. There must be something that led to that statement.
Amen.
You understand?
Okay.
There must be something that led to that statement. Okay, and now the next thing people are saying is, you want to give 1 billion naira. Now, you know the funny thing about it is, you know, these same ministers that are criticizing it, if they have the opportunity he has, they'll be calling for 2 billion. Now, I'm telling you, because these things start small. You know, I went to a hotel, and in the reception,
yes, sir.
You know, while we were trying to check in, the only chair that was available was a 3-seater like this. And a man who came also, and his other team, they were trying to also check in, he laid there and crossed his leg there and was working on his phone and was talking on somebody on phone. And I came, I said, this is corruption. I said, this seat is provided for 3 people. You took everything. You lie down there. I said, that's the problem with Nigeria. You are a corrupt man. You have coveted even 2 people's seat for you alone. You were entitled to 1. You collected 2 others. 3 people's seat, only you. And everybody was laughing. I said, all of you are laughing now. That is corruption. Now you are talking of 1 billion. What of you? Because he knows there are billionaires in his church, isn't it?
That's right.
What of you? You know there are millionaires. Don't you always say, if anybody can give up 1 million, don't you ask for 1 million? Do you understand?
Yes,
it's within the level. And you were making a big issue of it. Whereas some of us saw it, we say, may God also
raise
billionaires in our midst.
That's right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, not to speak against it. You know, there's something he said after the project he's into. Even if we give him 20 billion now, it will not solve it. You don't finish it. You've gone there, you've gone to the project they're doing.
Definitely.
I'm not saying that is project. That has nothing to do with the gospel. You understand?
Yes, sir.
You are building a camp and building. That's not what God sent us to do.
Amen.
You know, it's okay, but that doesn't mean we should not have things on earth here. So, but I'm saying that stand at the pulpit and making it look as if it is a Christian project. It's not a Christian project.
Mm.
Building a camp is not a Christian. After all, we Christians, we go there, we pay before we use it. So it's not a Christian
project.
Even people living there, they pay house rent, they pay
everything.
The way it's done in the town, the same way it's done, it's a property business. So, and there's nothing wrong about you doing property business, but don't give it a Christian
name.
As it's a Christian project. Like
Amen.
The universities they build and all, they make it look like they are Christian university. There's nothing Christian about it. It's nothing, but it's a commercial venture. And nothing. The school fees speak for it.
Amen.
God are the days of missionary schools.
Yes, sir.
Missionaries come and build schools. Free. You know, they knew what they were going, and they used the opportunity to preach Christianity.
Amen.
They build hospitals, make everywhere available. You listen to them.
Amen.
You know, although the apostles didn't build hospitals, it's not a tradition.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a means of evangelism, but no, it's progressive.
It's means of catching fish.
It's means of catching fish, whatever you use.
Maybe
that is why some even have football clubs to
so catch fish.
To catch fish, but I don't know how they catch fish with such things.
Amen. Thank you so much, sir. Still on prophetic action, sir. Even a few minutes, you could just. You know, we see, and I'm happy we are in the prophetic ministry, and thank God our pastor does a lot of prophetic actions.
That's right.
Okay, what about to go overboard? Okay, my own terms, I call it going overboard.
Yes.
Holy Ghost, Koboko, flogging of.
Yeah, you see, everything can be done excessively.
Okay.
I just remember, you know, I was trying to say, those of us who have a lot of critics, you know, prophetic action, I do a lot of prophetic action.
Yes, sir.
I say you're going to lose yourself. Your hand
on your waist.
Your hand on your waist.
Turn 360.
I say, I lose in the name of Jesus. You can turn 360. Lose. Then they lose, and then you're seeing things happening.
Mm.
Now, you know, we always have critics. Now, I heard Apostle Suleiman Johnson, you know, saying something that you see some people say turn 360. Me he's referring to. He said, you turn and you're remaining in the same place. He said, that is wrong. He said, turn and get out of that place. Yes, I said, that's true. You know, that's true, because it's prophetic action. When you lose yourself, finish, don't remain in that place. Get out, another prophetic action. Jump out of that place. You know, so while he may be thinking he's criticizing me, you know, I was learning from him. Because, you know, it is, we are learning. And maybe very soon, you'll soon get to know why Adeboye raised
Wrong.
And then all of you will be raising your own too.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. Not going overboard. Okay. I'm fine. And I'd love to ask this question, sir. Should church orders come in conflict with our Christian traditions? Or can church order?
Well, there was a question you asked me. I'm not sure I answered it.
Holy Ghost Koboko.
Holy Ghost Koboko.
No, I've not said it. Yeah. No, okay. I've not answered that. Now, everything, you know, can be hijacked by carnal people.
Okay.
See, what determines the success of any ministry is your knowledge of the word and the power of the spoken word.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, very soon, people stop. They don't know how which word to quote anymore. So they begin to play babalawo without knowing it.
That's right.
As I do the ladies happen there, as I do the ladies, you know, it was common in the church here until I had to stop it.
That's right.
You know, so what is this? Because we say the prophetic action, even the prophetic action, we don't do it always.
Sure.
We do it during special programs. But everybody come to you, my neighbor is after me, you say, go and bring Koboko, who can you not go sleep this night? You are a witch. It's witchcraft now you are doing. That's fetish. Go and do this one. Anytime a minister, all the solution you have, pray for me. You say, don't worry, we do work. Now we do work. You are a witch doctor.
Man,
it's wrong.
Not a Christian tradition.
So bring cane, and you are cane. And you are cane. If you are cane, somebody is crying somewhere there. It's witchcraft. That's nothing like that.
So such actions are not Christian traditions.
They are not Christian traditions.
Okay.
No, we didn't see that pattern in the Bible.
Amen. Okay, so church orders. I would love for you to be very, very detailed, sir, because I remember some years back, We had a chair on the altar in the church here.
Yes.
Yes, just to represent, although nobody was bowing before the chair. Okay, sir. Now, church orders like that, is it proper for me to call it a church order?
No, no, it was, that was a prophetic action.
A prophetic action.
You know, we kept the seat there as our own way of saying, because you notice, I don't sit at the behind the altar there.
Yeah.
You know, you don't see a special seat for
That's
me.
True.
Designed like a throne in the kingdom.
Okay.
You know, for me, the king and the
yes,
queen,
the G.O.
They sat down and especially designed, while the subjects are sitting down on benches and the rest, and they're under heat. The mere house, two air conditions, one blow here.
Special carpets.
Special carpet and then specially designed chairs. You know, I don't see it because I believe that the general overseer of the church is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And I said, let me give him his own seat.
Okay.
Actually, it came by prophecy.
Okay.
But remember that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet.
Mm.
Now, we kept it there, and for two reasons, we removed it. Number one, people will look at it and think it is my seat. Who don't really see the altar, they think it's my seat. Meanwhile, it is not my seat. Nobody sat there. Then secondly, it was looking like an idol kept there. And then we noticed that some people would go there and kneel down and pray, you know, in front of the chair. Immediately we noticed that. We said, oh, devil is coming in. I said, God, you will understand. It has played its own role. We removed it.
Amen. Okay.
Yes.
Thanks for knocking that off.
Yes.
And finally, on this topic, except by Gabriel, something else, is the issue of dieting.
And fasting.
Yes, fasting and dieting in modern Christianity.
No, dieting is a medical exercise. It's a medical
fasting,
exercise.
Then,
now, when fasting is a spiritual exercise.
Okay. When you are told to undergo some particular kind of fast to receive deliverance or things like that, you are sick and all those form of fasting.
You see, Mountain of Fire particularly started it. And then Zoe Ministry, Wunze, you know, also promoted it. There is a grandmaster, one man that said he was grandmaster of the occult, something Uzoma.
Yes,
Uzoma.
Yes.
He also promoted it as he was going up and down. Now, where the scripture they pick from, you know, is a misapplication of that scripture. Where a young child was possessed, the disciples prayed all day. And they could not heal him. And they brought him to the Lord Jesus, the master himself. And Pam, the spirit left. And naturally, the disciples were surprised. Why were we not able
to cast out that devil?
Yes. And he gave two reasons. He says, because of your faithlessness. Then he said, but how be it, no matter how faith-filled you have, this kind of demon, of deliverance, cannot go except by fasting and
prayers.
Then I pick it up from there. Anybody that has problem, take 3 days fasting. Take 4 days dry fasting. You finish, and you know, it does not come. And in fact, select self, have white one, white fasting,
dry fasting,
dry fasting, black fasting, red fasting, and all manner of fasting. Then, but it's wrong. What that scripture is teaching is that only one who lives a minister that lives a life of fasting regularly that can do this type of deliverance. When I'm here fasting, you, the disciples, they chop. Now, in case you come before you now, you come in that estate spiritually. Because when you fast, the spirit man is charged.
Amen.
I mean spiritual fast.
That's right.
Because during fasting, you abstain from so many things that distract you. You abstain from so many things that defile you. You tend to do more spiritual things because you know you are fasting to build your spirit man. So your spirit man is energized,
That's right.
is equipped, is strengthened. So when such cases come, the virtue that flow from you, the power, the anointing, the grace that flows from you is higher than the one that will come from one who is sleeping, enjoying from yesterday till now and watching television. You saw what happened here this morning.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, somebody who didn't pray in the night, you saw it, the woman that matched the poison and was brought. The husband carried her here, but she walked home.
Amen.
You understand? You all saw what happened.
Amen.
You know, when they come there, I prayed for the person. Now, some other person will try to pray. He may even be a prophet, like we have so many of them in the church here. But they will discover that they have not, you know,
sharpened
the knife that will cut that tree.
Amen.
By fasting.
Hallelujah.
So that is it. Not that somebody is suffering from, is having HIV. You say, go and do 7 days dry fasting. You are killing the person.
Amen.
It is the person that is conducting deliverance that should be fasting. And not just that, you see you therefore, let us go and fast. He's already living a life of
fasting,
regular fasting. He has his days, he fasts, he prays. Not that he's fasting to go and confront you. He already has a life pattern of regularly fasting.
Amen.
Such a person is the one that received. See, the bed I lie down on top alone, my wife will fall sick, and I don't have time to pray for her. She would go. And she believes if she can just lie down on that same bed, she receives her healing. She does. She receives her healing. That's why they could touch just the hem of the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the thing dried up.
Amen.
I will see so many of such. I'm not advertising myself so that you come and start looking for me for prayer. I'm not. I'm telling you, you can achieve the same thing too if you live a life of consecration.
Amen. Thank you so much, sir.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Okay, Brother Gabriel.
Okay, there's this one troubling the Christian faith now, is that of respect.
Yes, sir.
Calling a man father, referring to a pastor as daddy. Now, it's complicated, sort of. We know you as our brother, but for the reason of the level of age, we of course refer to you as our daddy, because you are not even just a daddy, you're a grandfather now. The area of respect, I want you to be able to break it down for us. If it's in two forms, first in the entire message. The entire message believers say, or we are taught from even from the scriptures, to refer to ourselves as brother, brother this, brother that, sister this. Now, if a small child comes to look at an elderly man and refers to that elderly man as brother, brother Olumide, Jesus, David, and she's very little, Now, would that be called respect as part of Christian tradition, or this respect?
So let me put it this way also, sir. Will it be wrong for us to refer to you as daddy?
Now, I'm happy you asked this question. In fact, it's a real opportunity to make some clarifications. You see, everything can be abused, you know. Yeah. First and foremost, in this climb, in this part of the world, Africa generally, and particularly the blacks, Africa, we are brought up to show respect to the elders. And the respect we show to the elders, you know, we reflect it in addressing them.
Amen.
When somebody who is of the age of your father, when you want to relate with him, you will call him daddy.
Yes.
When somebody may not be in to the age of your father, but he's your senior, we use the word uncle.
That's true.
If it's a woman, auntie. If the woman is of the age of your mother, you call her mommy.
That's true.
Now, it is a way of showing respect, you know. So if, because you say the Lord Jesus Christ say we should call ourselves brethren, then you that is my grandson's age mate come and look at me and say, brother Moses, come. By the time my children will handle you,
that's true.
You know, even your own father will slap you that you have no regard for
That's right.
elders. Mm. That's now, right. now, so we must know when somebody is, you know, ascribing that respect to me when you say daddy.
Mm. Amen.
Now, it's different from daddy in the Lord.
Mm.
Now, the daddy in the Lord, listen, the daddy in the Lord applies only if I produce your ministry.
Mm.
It's through me. I brought you up in the ministry like Paul and
Timothy.
Amen.
Or there's some special relationship that it was with you in bringing you up, you know.
You influenced his ministry.
You influenced him. Mm-hmm. Through him, you saw Christ.
That's right.
Through his ministry, you became who you are today.
That's right.
Then, of course, he's your father in the Lord. You understand?
Amen.
Now, when he's addressing you, he has that in mind. Because it's not everybody that will call you father in the Lord. You understand?
Yes,
so to me, there's nothing wrong if it is properly placed. You know, I was somewhere in like the same program I went to 2 days ago, I told you. And then everybody will come and introduce themselves, where ministers were there, and they say, this is my son in the Lord. This is my son. You know, he keeps saying, this is my son. And then they were doing that, and it was too much. Like, my father, too much. You know, when I left that place, I was telling Pastor Francis in the car, so we were going back to the hotel room. I said, I'm not too comfortable about this father-son thing. I said, honestly, I am not too comfortable about it. I said, because there is a meaning, undertone behind it. You know, and things like that. You know, and whereby you have me as your father in the Lord, so I have total control over you, how you run your ministry, how you do everything, how that even, you know, I have a last say.
I'm your master.
I'm your master.
Wow.
Now, when he reaches that say, that is what the Bible is against.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, another aspect of it is this, sir. We see this common in the denominational churches.
Yes.
A man older than the pastor
yes.
refers to the pastor as daddy.
Yeah, now any such pastor that accepts such address is not properly brought up.
I saw something similar to that yesterday. There's a prophetess that belongs to a white garment church. She's the overseer of that church. Then she was going forward on a bike. And then I observed that a woman greeted her from afar and greeted her, good evening, ma. Mommy, good evening, ma. When I got close, I discovered that woman should be, if not a grandmother to her.
No, that's what I'm saying. I have met it, you know. Anybody, you know, I'm an African, and you all know that anytime I'm addressing anybody that's older than me, I answer him, sir.
Yes, sir.
Hello, sir. And if you are coming to see me in the office, as you open my door, you are coming for counseling, and I notice you're an elderly man, I stand up. I stand up. You're welcome, sir. Please sit down. Then we'll do our ministry. So we say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I will say, ah, sir, no, don't embarrass me. You're my father. Sit down. I say it. Some come and they want to kneel down. I say, no, please. I am not a Yoruba man. You can do that to Yoruba people. And that shows respect. But if where I come from, if you do like this to me, that's worship. I don't accept worship. So please, sir, sit down. Now, if he does it to a Yoruba person, that's their culture. You know, he has not sinned. You know, but you do it to me. Well, where did I get that from? Because it's not scripture now you are doing. You are showing respect. And my kind of where I come from, my respect is not by kneeling down before me.
Okay.
And things like that.
Okay, Daddy, you've brought in something else that I would love to conclude this interesting topic.
Amen.
Now, what of when your own traditions and cultures come in conflict with Christian customs and traditions?
Your tradition must bow.
Okay.
The higher one must take.
The higher one.
Amen.
And the scripture supersedes any other tradition.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Daddy, we want to thank you and really appreciate you for making our time to be with us today. May the Lord keep increasing his grace upon you.
Amen.
And may your ministry keep growing in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And we want to thank our viewers for always watching us on Rapture Watch right here on Bright TV Thursday. And you could always watch us on YouTube, on Facebook. And if you have any questions, comments, you know, anything you need to know about Rapture Watch, you could text the number or call the number that will be displayed on the screen shortly. Mm-hmm. We are here for you. Rapture Watch every Thursday, 8 p.m. Keep watching the Bride TV. God bless you. Shalom to the Bride of Christ.
Shalom.